And welcome to mini episode number 4 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Mike Pitak coming at you here today. Mike is our chief NASCAR correspondent at FDH and here to talk a little bit of Chase preview here. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good, pretty good. We got just a little bit of time yet before the field is all set. You and I were just reviewing the standings here before we got going, and one of the big things you were saying to me off air when it comes to some of the more marginal qualifying spots here, Brad Keselowski going to make it for the first time, and you told me off air of red hot August.
An amazing, I believe he's had 2 wins, a second and a third in the month of August, and today they're racing in Atlanta, and you know, the Dodge and Keselowski crew has just been at the top of their game lately.
They have been tremendous. They've really been hot, and that's going to play in as far as the points go. Another thing that we were looking at here was this new system this year of emphasizing wins outside of the top 10 here for the 11th and 12th spots here, that you can jump somebody if you have no wins and somebody else has wins, you can get jumped, rather.
Yeah, correct. Right now, Tony Stewart and Dale Earnhardt have the last 2 positions that are locked. Keselowski and Hamlin are the wild cards. They trail Earnhardt and Stewart in points. And technically, they could knock, with a win by Keselowski, he could jump Stewart and or Earnhardt, knock them out of the chase, and someone with another win, such as Menard, will be in the race due to the fact that they have a win.
That would be a very interesting way to see this manifest itself in the first year of the rules changes. What I find to be fascinating here, when you look at the standings going into this Atlanta race here, 8:30 and 8:30 at the top, Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson. Interestingly enough, Jimmy Johnson has more so been noted for what he's done in the chase than necessarily being number one to get there. It's not always that he's in the top spot getting there, but he's in the top spot at the end. Kyle Busch, being a guy that a lot of people have identified as somebody that could knock him off one of these years, I have to confess, the 1 year out of the last couple of years when I didn't have Jimmy Johnson atop our fantasy draft board, I had Kyle Busch there. So thoughts on this? Is this symbolic? Does this mean anything, having these two guys at the top here? Is this the year that Jimmy Johnson can't get toppled and maybe by Kyle Busch?
Yes, it is. And don't be mistaken. These two really don't like each other on and off the track. And they've had a few run-ins, shall we say, and they're not best friends, and they're not shaking hands afterwards. You know, to be the man, you got to beat the man, like Ric Flair says. And right now, Jimmy Johnson is still the man. And when he gets in the chase, he's a whole different animal.
Let me ask you about this, because again, you're a big motorsports guy. Outside of that, you and I have always talked about our love of open wheel and other such things here. This run that Jimmy Johnson's on, where does this fit historically? In the grand scheme of things here, the 5 championships in a row obviously pretty much stands alone as far as NASCAR history. But when you factor in open wheel, when you factor in F1, the Michael Schumachers of the world, where's this thing at?
Schumacher, Senna?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely up there. And I would put I like Schumacher, Senna, and Jimmy Johnson.
In that order. Okay. How many more does it take for Jimmy Johnson to run them down? I mean, if it gets to 6 or 7.
If he gets another one, that's just it. I mean, it's unprecedented. And it already is. But, you know, I think the level of competition in open wheel was greater at the time of Senna and at Schumacher as opposed to right now when you have these super teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Johnson being part of, you know, that super team in Hendrick Motor, and then you have Roush Racing. You 3 or 4 teams generally win 95% of the races.
Well, the funny thing is that until it gets to the chase every year when he pulls away, there seems to be at least the appearance of parity. Because you look at this year, and again, he's tied for first heading into this race, but it's sort of uncharacteristic. He's just generally in the chase and then wins it from there. But the rest of the names, we see them every year. Kenseth, Edwards, Harvick, Jeff Gordon, those are the next 4 in line right now. Ryan Newman, Kurt Busch, Lil Ease back in the mix this year, Tony Stewart. These are names that are perennials. So you look at this field, you look at these guys that are there every year, you've got some past championships sprinkled in here. That seems to make it all the more remarkable when you look at the field. I mean, it's not just being the tomato can of the month.
Yeah, you're right. But again, look at the teams. You have 2 teams from Penske. You have Busch and Hamlin are from Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., all from Hendrick. So you're looking at a lot of a lot of teams, and Tony Stewart and Ryan Newman from Stewart Haas Racing, so who are using Hendrick engines.
Mm-hmm.
So they're technically, I look at them as part of the Hendrick team.
No, they are. They have to be considered as a part of that. When you look at the field, when you look at how things are going, certainly Keselowski with a chance to have this breakthrough and make the chase this year, and to be the one fresh face in the field as it stands now, has to be counted as a breakthrough guy. Conversely, when you look at the standings, what do you count as maybe the biggest disappointment thus far?
Really, I think Carl Edwards, even though he's fourth in points, mm-hmm. a lot of people were looking like this is going to be his year. This is he's going to run away with it. But he had a lot of contract problems that he was dealing with, and he wasn't sure where he was going to sign, and he was handling his own negotiations. So until a couple weeks ago, it was questionable where Carl Edwards, and he had a lot on his plate, and Ford Motor came up to him and said, look, Carl, you're the face of our company. We want you to stay in a Ford Motor company car. What can we do to expedite the signing? And shortly after that, he signed with Roush Fenway Racing.
It is interesting when you look at the guys in the top six, only Jimmy Johnson, and again, Jimmy Johnson's always a guy that does it more on consistency, not so much being top-heavy with wins. Johnson with the one win. The only other guy in the top six with only one win, Carl Edwards.
Yeah, but just, again, a model of consistency. And Matt Kenseth, kind of a sleeper, a name that's always very consistent. And, maybe you picture him at the lower end of the chase,
mm-hmm.
but, a model of consistency, third place.
He was a guy that when I was making out a list of the most influential athletes of the last decade, he was actually on my list because what he did in 2003, being judged to win in such boring fashion as he did, it caused them to completely refashion NASCAR, bring in the chase. You've got golf, you've got NHRA, you've got some other circuits that are working in this whole kind of thing here. The way that he won it in 2003, fairly or unfairly, generated such a backlash. It changed not just his sport, but other ones, these ones that run the full calendar year and how they operate when it gets into September and October.
Yeah, Matt Kenseth, he was a big influence in and outside of the sport.
It's just one of those moments in time here, and he may not like being judged to be that way because, again, it's because he was judged to have won. What do you have, only one win, I think, in 2003?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so many top fives and top tens.
Yeah, and just the model of consistency. But, yeah, all these perennials that are in the field here this year, as it stands now, plus Keselowski. Again, Jimmy Johnson not having as much ground to run down as he normally does when the chase starts, which should send a chill up everyone's spine. But then again, the way that they kind of reset it at the beginning, I guess it doesn't make that much of a difference
Kyle Busch is going to get, I believe it's 5 points a win mm-hmm. for every race, so that's a bonus of 20 points plus being in first place.
Well, that'll help him out. But as we go into this, bottom line, what do you think we're looking at here? Is it six in a row for Jimmy Johnson, or is this the year somebody takes him? I would have to think if anybody can, it would be Kyle Busch. My sense is, Jimmy Johnson, you're the man until somebody beats you, but you follow it a lot closer than I do. What's your sense, Mike?
Like I said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I think there are two guys out there that can beat him. Obviously, Kyle Busch. You're looking at a really different Kyle Busch. He's really changed his attitude. He's not that smarky sort of wise guy. He said he's really trying to change his attitude. And it's shown on the track that, okay, look, I may not win this race, but I got to have a good points race. He's really changed his act. Kyle Busch and I think Carl Edwards.
Yeah, Edwards, and he's a past champion himself, is he not?
He won in the Nationwide Series.
That's right. So he has experience at least at that level as a champion. So is Kyle Busch the guy that that can beat Jimmy Johnson here? Or at the very end, if somebody puts a gun to your head, do you say Jimmy Johnson?
I say Jimmy Johnson.
All right. I would concur, and we'll see if this is the year that somebody does step up and take them, and it should be a very interesting climax to the season. All right, we'll catch you again sometime shortly here. And now, Mike, we're going to be talking some grappling in the near future with Kyle Ross, so hopefully we'll get to do that with you.
Oh, looking forward to it. Good seeing you, Ricky.
All right, thanks, buddy. That's the great Mike Pitak, our NASCAR correspondent. This has been mini episode number 4 of the FDH Lounge.